Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, spending some time with us. We're just kind of borrowing some of your time from your busy schedule, and we do appreciate you allowing us to do that. We've been doing this show for, 13 years? We started in 2007, and you guys have been right there with us, and I thank you just so much. Thank you so much. And so now we've got even more listeners. Yeah, we went out and found some more listeners. We got lots and lots of new listeners. But hey, we are still dedicated to all of you listeners, whether you're some of our original crowd or some of the new crowd. We love you and we thank you so much. You can always drop us a line, info@filmfestivalradio.com. Our website is filmfestivalradio.com, and I've gotten so many emails. You guys are like, you need to. Okay, I'm going to update the website. We just have been so busy. We have a big, huge announcement that is coming up on October 15th. I'll tell you more about it. Today is October 6th. So we've got just about just a few more days. A few more days and some change there. But I'll be telling you more about that. So, okay, let's talk about our guest for this show. Our guest is a very talented international film director, and his film is actually a series of films. It's a three-part series. It's called The War on Cuba, and it will take place. It's a three-part documentary, to be more exact. It's an in-depth look at the impact of American sanctions on Cuba and the political interests that are driving these sanctions. Award-winning actors, directors Oliver Stone and Danny Glover are the executive producers of this three-part series of films. And I'll tell you, these guys, if you can get them on board of your film project, you must be doing a lot of right things because they are the executive producers. Now, part one of the three-part series will premiere on October 9th. That's this coming Friday. And the second part, part two, will air on October 16th. And part three, the final part, will air on October 23rd. So, again, it's a mini-series of films. Shows just how the American policies have impacted the lives of the people of Cuba and the whole country. And it's shown through the eyes of a young Cuban journalist. The film investigates the very powerful interest groups and organizations that are behind a lot of these policies. It is a must-see series of films. And again, it will be premiering part one on October 9th, part two, October 16th, and part three on October 23rd. So you can see the entire series is from the filmmakers Belly of the Beast Cuba. They have their own YouTube channel. Go to bellyofthebeastcuba.com. Go to that website and there you will find the exact link as to how you can just all of the information about the entire series, the filmmakers, the journalist who is covering and speaking during these all three of the films. And again, our guest is the director. His name is Reed Lindsay. He is the director, and Reed is, I understand, he's on hold. He's calling us directly from Havana, Cuba. So this is going to be, I'm really looking forward to this conversation to find out more about all three of these films and the entire project as a whole. So let's bring on film director Reed Lindsay, director again of the three-part documentary series, The War on Cuba. So let's bring up his line right now.
Hello, Janice?
Yes, hello there.
This is Reed Lindsay. How are you?
I am doing just absolutely fabulous, Reed. I was just sitting here waiting on your call, and there you are.
All right, great.
Okay, so
let's
jump right in here.
Is the connection okay?
The connection, it sounds like you're just across the street from me. You're in Havana today?
I am, yeah. I'm using Skype to call you.
Carl, that's so cool. That's so cool. Well, we are all in sync here. So the film is it's a three-part documentary, The War on Cuba. So are you're there still? Are you wrapping up another episode, I should say, or are you guys finished with all three episodes?
I wish we were finished with all three. We're still in the midst of it. With COVID here, and it's been quite a challenge to get these done because we're showing not what's been happening over the last few years. So it's been quite a challenge to show that, because COVID obviously has changed everything, especially in Cuba, because they take it very seriously here. So there are very strict measures as far as wearing masks in public, and there was a curfew for a time, 7 p.m. curfew. So it's definitely set back our production schedule, but we should be getting them all out. The first one's going out this Friday.
Okay, yes, the first one premieres, I should say, Friday. The second and third series will be airing the 16th and 23rd of this month. And so we can see all of this on the YouTube channel. Is that the Beast of the Belly of the Beast YouTube channel? Is that correct?
Yes, Belly of the Beast YouTube channel, and also our social media accounts. They should be on there as well, Facebook. And YouTube is probably the best place to watch it.
Okay, now let's start from the beginning here, going back. I understand, now you are the director, but I do understand that this project has also caught the attention of Oliver Stone and Danny Glover. So how did these two distinguished gentlemen get involved with this project?
Well, Oliver Stone and Danny Glover have, for many years, in addition to their more well-known work in fiction and Hollywood films, they've been involved in films around Cuba. Oliver Stone has done documentaries here, and Danny Glover has done a lot of activism around Cuba and in pushing for a different U.S. policy towards Cuba. So knowing that, this seemed like a project that would be right up their alley and would be of interest to them, and a project they'd like to support. And they have. So we're very honored that they're supporting us in the project as executive producers.
And so as we were saying a minute ago, this is a three-part documentary series, The War in Cuba. So in a nutshell, you're breaking them down into three parts. Part one is the Cuba, and that's the part two, I should say. But part one is We Can't Vote in Your Elections. Tell us about that one.
Well, part one is it takes a very big picture look at the impact of the U.S. embargo in Cuba, and in particular the recent measures taken by the Trump administration. Cuba, the U.S. has essentially been at war with Cuba. It's been waging an economic war against Cuba for decades, and it's known as the U.S. embargo here in Cuba. They call it the blockade. Under Obama, the embargo started to get loosened, and for the first time in a long time, there appeared to be a chance of better relations between the two countries. Trump has rolled all of that backwards and intensified the embargo, and it's had a huge impact on the Cuban people. So what we do is we take a look at the impact it's had on real people here in Cuba, and as well as taking a look at what's going on here. Why is Trump doing this, considering he himself was interested in doing business in Cuba and had sent some of his representatives to Cuba to look into building hotels and golf courses? What was the change that made him take this hardline stance on Cuba?
And so the answer to that question, because I'm wondering myself, that answer is addressed in part one, episode one, I should say.
It is. It is. And it's not a secret. Trump, as although he clashed with Rubio during the election campaign, they became very close allies when he assumed the presidency. And Trump believes, and he has expressed this publicly, that the support of the Cuban American community in South Florida, and particularly the hardline elements of that community, is what helped him win Florida, which is the biggest swing state in the country in the 2016 election, and which and it also will help him win in 2020. Florida has been the decisive state in elections previously. It's come down to a handful of votes that happened in 2000 when Bush beat Gore in that election, and it could happen in 2020. And it's a crucial state. That's a crucial community in that state. And so these policies that are meant to appease that community, to get their support in order to win the election.
And so part two will air on October 16th, titled The Cuba-Venezuela Connection. So tell us a synopsis of what that one would be about.
Well, Cuba and Venezuela have a close relationship. Cuba sends thousands of doctors to Venezuela. Cuba has an incredible healthcare system, and they have sent doctors to help Venezuela with their system. And in turn, Venezuela has a lot of oil, as everyone knows, and so Venezuela sent Cuba discounted oil. And so this relationship is one that the U.S. has attacked and tried to debilitate by imposing essentially an energy blockade, an oil blockade, preventing ships from transporting oil from Venezuela to Cuba. And so we get into, in the episode, we look into how this energy crisis has come about in Cuba and how it's affected real people here.
And so part three is the war on doctors. I used to be a newspaper editor, and so my boss, her husband, he was a chief of surgery of a major hospital, and they used to tell me how they would often go to these international medical conferences in Havana because how Cuba has such a strong reputation for having such quality medical care and information throughout the world. So tell us about the episode three, The War on Doctors, which will air October 23rd.
Well, Cuba is well known for its healthcare system in Cuba. Mm-hmm. It's got one of the highest, if not the highest, ratio of doctors per inhabitants in the world. There are clinics just basically and doctors on every block. They put a big emphasis on preventative and primary care. And especially in the developing world, they've become really well known and a model of healthcare. At the same time, Cuba for many years has sent doctors around the world to other countries to help with their healthcare on medical missions. In recent years, some of these medical missions, like the one to Haiti, where I lived for several years, are that Cuba gets nothing back economically. And other countries do pay Cuba money. It's a way that Cuba is able to generate some money in the face of the economic embargo to help subsidize its own healthcare system in Cuba. So the doctors make considerably more money than they do in Cuba. So they're eager to go on these missions, and they go voluntarily. And then meanwhile, Cuba, the government, receives money from these other governments that are receiving the doctors, and it helps their own bottom line. Now, this international medical program, has come under attack from the United States government in the last few years. And as a result, the Cuban doctors have been forced to leave Brazil, Bolivia, and Ecuador, and the attacks have persisted since then. The U.S. has also been criticizing the Pan American Health Organization, which is associated with the World Health Organization, and trying to stop any international support for this health program, which is really striking in the context of COVID. While Cuba has been one of the models it's been sort of at the forefront of containing COVID. They have one of the lowest rates of contagion and rates of and death rates in the world, and uh, And you'd think these activists could be out there helping other countries. Well, they're not. And you look at countries like Brazil and Bolivia, where the impact of COVID has been disastrous.
And so how do you think that people, especially in Florida, Cuban now who are Cuban Americans, how do you think this three-part series is going to set with them?
Well, I hope it opens some eyes. We are not propagandists. We don't work for the Cuban government. We are independent, and we make a big effort to maintain that independence and to show that, and to really make to show sort of the harsh reality in Cuba and how these policies are affecting Cubans. So I don't think that is talked about in the Cuban American community very often. I think the focus is on the government, Castro, but not so much on how the embargo affects the Cuban people. Even in Cuba, a lot of Cubans forget about how the embargo affects them, because it's sort of this vague thing. I mean, you have the U.S. doing these policies, it's affecting the government, which in turn affects the economy, and then the economy is terrible, and who do you blame? Well, you blame what's closest to you, and often the Cuban government is blamed, and they may deserve part of the blame for economic problems in their country, but when you have the most powerful country in the world opposing the longest trade embargo in modern history on a tiny island, that certainly is having a significant impact on the economy and people's lives here. So hopefully it opens some minds. I think it's very difficult to do in the Cuban American community, because they have very strong opinions, and they're not always ready to listen to other opinions other than their own.
And so what kind of comments have you received as you guys have been working on the three-part series from maybe friends or colleagues of yours who maybe their family is originally from Cuba, maybe they live in America here now. So what kind of responses in your immediate circle have you heard?
Well, we haven't released it yet, so we haven't gotten a full response. We released a trailer, mm-hmm. so that generated a lot of extremely positive feedback and a lot of very angry feedback, and that's expected. But I've been very encouraged hearing back from people who have seen the rough cut. I don't think that this story has been told this way. I've been in Cuba the last few years, and I've seen firsthand the barrage of measures against Cuba. And I feel embarrassed by that. It's my government that is doing this to the Cuban people, and I think it's shameful. And I think that this is a story that should be told. Now, it comes out in news reports, but, you know, news is there one day, it's gone the next. There hasn't really been any documentaries out there that have taken an in-depth look at this and really put the pieces together. And so that's what drove us to do this. We feel there's a huge void in the media landscape and the documentary landscape on this issue. And we really wanted to get to a young audience. We have a journalist who is a presenter throughout. She's young Cuban woman, and she is talking from the heart. She's talking about issues that affect her family, her friends, people she knows, and then people she meets along the way. And we're very excited about this. We feel like it's a new way of telling the story. It's a story that's not told enough, and we hope it can make an impact and hopefully open people's minds.
And I want to make note that the journalist you're speaking of is Liz. Is it Oliva Fernandez? Oliva?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. People want to get more information. BellyOfTheBeastCuba.com is the website, but it can be seen on the Belly of the Beast Cuba YouTube channel. And
that's right.
Just going in
and Googling, you'll probably find it. But if you go to the website, you'll see the links to the YouTube channel and all our social media accounts.
We'll answer this last question here. So, Belly of the Beast, that is the – tell us all about Belly of the Beast and the work that you guys are doing.
Sure. Thanks for asking. Belly of the Beast, the war in Cuba is sort of our first big project. We launched Belly of the Beast earlier this year to tell stories that really aren't being told in Cuba, and also to take a hard look at U.S. policy towards Cuba. And I think that it's incredible. Here in Cuba, people are tremendously affected by U.S. policy. They're affected by the election, but they don't have a say in it. You know, you could always say in the U.S. that, you know, people complain about what the government is doing. That, well, you can vote. You can vote them out. Well, the Cubans can't do that, and they're so affected by what the U.S. government has done, and yet not that many people in the U.S. really fully understand what that's about and the impact it's having. So we, Belly of the Beast, our mission is to show that, not the impact that U.S. policy is having, but also to show inspiring stories here in Cuba, and to show what people's lives like are like here in Cuba. Cubans are incredibly resilient. They are inventive and creative, and there are so many beautiful stories here in Cuba that just aren't being told. You often just hear sort of the negative part of Cuba, and there definitely is a negative side to things here. But we're trying to tell the stories that aren't being told. That's our mission, and that's what we've been doing since early in the year. And one other aspect of it I think is really significant is that we are not parachute journalists coming in and telling stories for an audience outside of Cuba. We're in a collaborative project. We have people from around the world who are involved in it. And in addition, we're working very closely with an incredible group of young Cuban journalists and filmmakers. And I feel like that's a really novel approach. I don't know of another media organization that is doing that type of work.
One of the events that I have wanted to attend in Cuba for years is the big International Film Festival that you guys have every December, and I've seen video clips and pictures, and I've always wanted to attend. So maybe, hopefully, if this virus whole thing is better, maybe the following year I can finally attend. I understand it is one big heck of an event, film festival wise.
Yeah, I have been to the last few years, and if you come, look me up, and I'm happy to help out. It'd be great to meet you down here in Havana.
Oh, well, I would love to. One of the things I'm looking forward to, not only meeting the people, but I want to see those. I love classic old cars. I just want to see those cars and take pictures of them and eat the food, of course. But
The classic old cinemas. The best part about the Havana Film Festival is not the movies or the parties and that type of thing, which is often the reason you go to a film festival. It's the experience of going to the cinema, because you have these old classic movie theaters, large theaters, and people they're packed, and the majority of them are not film buffs. They're ordinary people who just went into Cubans, people who live in Havana. They love the film festival. You can sit and wait in line and talk to them. And some of them just go to every single film. They just, it's practically free for them. If you're Cuban, going cultural events are basically free. They're extremely inexpensive, so it's very accessible to the population, and it's just a lot of fun to go to go to the cinema.
Oh, you're making me really want to go now. Wow, that's going to be a lot of fun. Well, finally, will there be because again, it's a 3-part series. Do you guys plan on doing any live tweeting with the viewers, the audience, later this month as the other two are shown, or what?
Oh, yes, there will be some live events, and definitely. And so, check us out on the, Google us or search for us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and you'll find out all the info about those events there.
Okay, I'm going to tell everybody again, it's bellyofthebeastcuba.com. Sounds like your dog is ready to start tweeting there.
Yeah, my little dog here, she's angry about something.
Well, anyway, Reed, thank you so much for calling us all the way from Havana, and thank you to your crew, and of course, Oliver Stone and Danny Glover for their tremendous input into this project. And hopefully all of us can learn from what we're going to see for the rest of this month. And just thank you so much for being my guest. And I look forward to meeting you. Come to the film festival next year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, we'll let you get back to work then. Thank you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye now.
Okay, thank you so much, Reed, for calling us all the way from Havana. Man, I cannot believe how clear the audio was. It sounds like he's right next door to me or something. I've called people across town and did not have that good of a reception, so that's good to know. But again, the three-part series, part one will air on October 9th, part two, October 16th, and part three on October 23rd. Lots of fascinating, informative information, the war on Cuba. So make sure that you go tune in. Again, you can go to the website, belly, like your belly, bellyofthebeastcuba.com. And they have their own YouTube channel. And all of the details, everything, the links, is all right there. And I, just as I was telling Reed, I have wanted to attend the big film festival that he and I were talking about. I've wanted to go to that festival for years. So hopefully COVID-19 will have just gone away and just go away, and we can all get back to the best that we can of business and life as usual, and I can go into, myself and others, we can go to the festival, some film festival next December is usually when they have it, but it is, I've heard so many wonderful things about this film festival, so I'm looking forward to attending, and maybe, Reed, you're listening, we're going to get to hang out and finally meet, and you can show me those cars so I can take some pictures and meet the people. I'm a very people person. When I go to foreign countries, I love just meeting the regular, everyday people, the working people, and they're always so kind and so sweet. It doesn't matter what country I've been to. I just find, just like me, the regular people are just always so nice and kind and welcoming to their country. And I know a lot of people who are originally from Cuba. They're now Cuban Americans, and they're so hospitable, and they have such great food. They can cook so well. Yes. So anyway, I look forward to attending that film festival. So, Reed, thank you for your time, for joining us. And, of course, again, thank everyone, as always, for listening to the show. And we're going to shut it down for this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. And we'll see you guys on our next show. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.